It's been announced that the Londonderry and Locks Swilly Railway is to close. Stumpy Bonner, porter at Ballylennon Station, has been enthusiastically supported in his campaign to keep the line open by Mrs. Vivian Hawthorne, wife of the Presbyterian minister. In his capacity as part-time journalist, however, Stumpy has earned the wrath of his editor for suppressing the railway company's press release justifying the closure. He may therefore lose both jobs, railway porter and local stringer on the Vindicator. Meanwhile, plans are proceeding for the visit of members of the McFinney Foundation of West Virginia, who may agree to purchase the cottage, believed to be the ancestral home of President Hoover. Ballylennon, 1956.
Hello, number please. Yes, I'm Miss McConkie. That's right. Oh, is he staying with you at Killiecrumper now? Well, I think it must be about a year since we last saw him. But my sister might remember the date more exactly. How is he? Really? Well, I'll speak to her and ring you back. Thanks very much, most kind of you. Not at all. Goodbye now. Muriel?
Yes, Vera, I'm with a customer.
I've a piece of news. I'll come out to you.
Well, they're very handy, Miss Galanders. And, of course, not having to get them on prescription means you don't have to worry if you find you need them suddenly in the night. Thank you, Mrs. Galanders. Good morning now.
I've a piece of good news for you, Muriel. Right? Oh, my goodness, that Miss Galanders doesn't look as if she's long for this world. Oh, Napper Tandy, he's been found.
Poor wee Napper Candy. Is he back?
No, but Mr. Frawley's valet up at Killiecrumper's after ringing. Oh. Napper Candy's been there for about a year, he was saying. Oh, that is, if it's the same dog.
Did he describe him?
Oh, yes, the right colour, the brown eyes, the lot. One of us will have to go to identify him and bring him back if it's
safe. But isn't it a wonder he's only letting us know now?
He said they put an ad in the Vindicator, but if he did, I didn't see it.
I never thought of looking.
Guard Gallagher was up at Killiecrumper for some reason. Well, he didn't say what. And according to the valley, the minute he clapped his eyes on him, that's the two Mr. McConkie's Napper Tandy, he said.
And Guard Gallagher could hardly be wrong.
No, because Napper Tandy started to growl. You know the way he never liked men in uniform.
Well, I'll run up when I close the shop at one.
Oh, and here's a letter with the West Virginia Post. Mark was just after arriving.
I'll call into McCrudden's for some sheep's lights or rough liver. Oh, I hope they haven't been starving him.
Oh, I'd say he was living on caviar and prawn cocktails up there.
Now, pretend he would never touch the like of that. Oh, yes, from Maybelle McFinney. On my trip to Ireland, I'll be accompanied by my nephew, Bohunkus L. Smith, who's a member of the foundation and is an invaluable advisor on financial... What kind of a name is that?
Read it out again.
Bohunkus L. Smith.
Is it L. Smith or L. Smith? Because Smith is a common enough name.
No. The Christian name, Bohunkus.
Ach, no Christian would go by that name, Muriel. Do you think she's having us on?
I wouldn't say she was that type, Vera. I think I'll go inside and give Fancy Doherty a ring. He'll need to know they're definitely coming. Oh, I hope it doesn't give him a fright.
Oh, he'll be in the estate agency now. Not the hotel. Number 11.
Doherty's Auctioneers and Estate Agents.
Mr. Doherty, my sister's on the extension. Napper Tandy's been found.
What, Miss McConkie?
Napper Tandy's been found.
What has?
The dog.
Oh.
Napper Tandy Fancy. But I'm ringing to tell you that Maybelle McFinney is bringing Bohunkus.
Is he a dog, too?
No, he's her nephew, an expert on financial matters.
You tell me.
So I suppose he'll be the one that'll advise her on what they should pay for the cottage.
Ah, I see now what you're on about, Muriel. Well, I hope they aren't coming soon, because the Thatcher's taken a relapse with hay fever. Oh. I can't have all that dust.
No. Oh, she doesn't give the date. Oh, she does. They're going to Blarney, Killarney, and the Ring of Kerry. I suppose it's a kind of tour. Oh, and yes, we plan to be with you on the 17th.
I presume that's the 17th of next month, because if it's this month, we'd hear her knocking on the door this minute.
Oh, it must be Fancy. Don't you think she means business that she's bringing her financial advisor?
Well, it looks a bit like that, Muriel. And that might not be such good news at all.
Why not, Fancy?
Well, if he's a qualified accountant, He wants to see the deeds.
But there's nothing wrong with the deeds, isn't that so?
I don't think there's anything wrong with the deeds no more than you do. But if he found us just sitting next to a person whose name I won't mention over the phone...
It's all right, Mr. Doherty. There's no one listening in. I've all the plugs pulled out except your own.
If you got sitting down next to her, in the lounge of my hotel, and she were to disclose that there was another copy with something on it we don't know about, the fat would be in amongst the pigeons.
The cat, Fonzie.
Well, whatever you like to call her, cat or canary, she should keep her mouth shut and her mind on heaven. Oh, I'll get Josie or Packy to drop down to you to lend her that letter. No, I get Josie. That young fella shouldn't be given the opportunity of having a gawk at it, you know?
How is Josie?
Ah, the best. Though I said myself, there's a great air of elegance about the place since she got back. She brought down a few old brass vases I'd thrown up in the attic, and she has them filled with a few old ferns and twigs and that. It gives the hotel an air of... opulence, and keeps down the smell of the abattoir next door, you know.
Wooden red geraniums and pots look better, Josie. Brighten the place up a bit.
There's the craze for dried flowers at the minute, Packy. Look at here in Homes and Gardens magazine. The muted tones of Himalayan thistle, judiciously mixed with sprays of silver honesty, add a wistful texture to this modern interior in Himmel Hempstead.
It's easy to see it's not an interior in Balbuffet. Nobody here would appreciate that, Josie.
Yet. But they will in time. I had a terrible tussle with the dad to let him allow me to do those arrangements. And then when I'd done them, he only said that it was his own idea and we should never have thrown those old vases up in the attic. I don't know. Is it worth all the arguments?
Oh, it is, Josie. He's a powerful man.
Yeah, but you only get the sharp side of his tongue. I get all the grumping and gurning. Are you not going out to Drumskittrick?
I thought I'd make myself a drop of tea before I go. Where's your Alfie?
He won't be in. He's gone up to Father O'Flatley with the papers belonging to the cottage and a face on him like a bulldog chewing a wasp.
He's very grumpy about those deeds right enough.
Mm.
Do you think he didn't buy the cottage or the priest didn't sell it to him in some legal mix-up?
Oh, he bought it all right. Because he gave the priest the £200 and £5 notes and I hear the priest hot-footed it into the bank in Letterkenny to set it against the overdraft.
But I'm the undisclosed purchaser of that cottage. If these Yanks decide to buy it for a high figure... I'd have a right to share in it.
Oh, I'd say you would. But I'd wait till the Yankee deal has gone through before you open your mouth, because it might never go through.
Mm. The Thatcher should be back at work this morning. I'd love to put a bomb under him. But he's the only man left in the country with a skill, so all I'm doing is clearing up the rubbish after him.
Oh, did you get rid of those rats?
Well, I sent word to Mr. Mullarky, the rat catcher, to come over today. Mm. And I'm putting in the job lot of fuchsias I got from Henderson's in Donegal. If the Yanks would only wait till next summer, the place would be looking like a picture in that book.
They'll hardly wait once the notion to travel is on them.
I'm dying to see the Maybelle one. I've taken a notion of her already.
I bet she's all beef to the heels like a Mullingar heifer.
Aye, and a pair of...
You go on out to your work, Packy McGoldrick, or you'll get a pair of black eyes. Oh, anyway, she's bringing her own bodyguard with her, so you'll have to keep your notions and your eyes to yourself. So now?
Who's that?
It's me.
Come on in, Muriel.
I'd love that letter for you as I'm passing, Fonzie. I'm on my way up to Killiecrumper to collect Napper Tandy.
This hard office isn't very comfortable. Would you like to go through to the hotel?
Well, I'll look in on Josie before I go. I'm only stopping a minute.
I told Josie... not to book anyone into the two best bedrooms from the middle of the month, so that we'll be sure to have those rooms free for Mrs. McFinney and the gentleman who's with her. And what do you think of this, Muriel? I'm going to ask Josie to look after Mrs. McFinney while she's here.
I'm sure Josie will do that anyway, if I know her.
Well, not just as the manageress of the hotel, but to accompany her round the town, to see the sights and to introduce her to all the best people.
Like a tour guide.
Well, in a kind of a way, but where she'll be different from your ordinary tour guide will be to see that these two Americans don't get to meet the wrong people. Because if Maybelle gets pally with you-know-who, she'll be hearing all kinds of rumors about the cottage not belonging to the real McFinneys, or there's something peculiar about the deeds and that, you know.
Fonzie, there's no way Mrs. McFinney won't get to meet Mrs. Hawthorne. If the Development Association is to give a reception for the Americans, she'll be there.
organizing the music or getting Gard Gallagher to sing and taking all the praise for it after.
You only have to put in words on what I was thinking myself. Sit still, we are.
I see her out in the street.
Is she coming here?
Yes. No, I think she's making for the hotel entrance. She might be looking for Josie.
Or Packy Bonner.
He's out in Drumskithrick, slapping plaster on the walls of the cottage.
She always had a way with Packy.
He always had a way with her.
Oh.
See, what's getting at me is those deeds. I spent an hour up at the parish house with the new curate, looking at them.
Is he afraid he hasn't sold the cottage?
Oh, he's convinced he has, and I'm convinced he sold it. We looked at every stop and comma, for the life of us, we couldn't see anything wrong with it. So, what document has Mrs. Hawthorne got in her possession? Or has she got a document? It's a very vexing matter, Muriel.
And we couldn't ask her.
No more than we could break into her house and run off with it. And if we did, we wouldn't know what we'd be looking for. Not as if it was a picture hanging on the wall.
I'll drop in to say hello to Josie at the reception desk. If she's there, I'll see if I get a brainwave.
Mind yourself now, Muriel.
I'll leave this bundle of paintings for Mr. Bonner here at reception, Josie, if you don't mind passing them on to him. They're the response from my fifth class to the closing of the railway. I thought we should hold a child art competition to draw attention to the closure.
Mr. Bonner usually comes into the bar around 8:30, Mrs. Hawthorne.
You might like to look through them yourself. This one's by a boy of 12. Graham Hunter, a very bright child, as you can see.
Has it a man been run over by a train?
Yes, rather gory, isn't it? The man represents the board of the railway company, and the engine is having its revenge. Highly metaphoric, of course.
It'd be a shame to see the end of the trains right enough. But wouldn't we all hate to see wee Mr. Bonner and Mr. McGinty losing their jobs? But there's something on today's Vindicator about it. Look here. An apology.
Oh?
The editor regrets the omission of the statement from the directors of the Londonderry and Lochswilly Railway, blah, 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 and this was due to inadvertency. And the full text is now printed below, and there's a big long thing about why the line should close.
I read Mr. Bonner's last piece about why it should remain open. Very fair comment, too. Though I did note two split infinitives, a case of tautology, and an oxymoron.
My father was saying the reason the statement wasn't printed was that Mr. Bonner suppressed it.
Indeed.
So his job with the papers on the line now...
In a manner of speaking.
Oh, hello, Miss McConkie. What can I do for you?
Good evening, Josie. I haven't seen you for some time, so I just looked in to say hello. But I see you're busy. Oh, good evening, Mrs. Hawthorne. Are you selling raffle tickets?
No, these are the labels for the paintings, which my pupils have done on the subject of the railway.
Oh, very nice indeed. I always think it's such a pity that the work we do in school gets lost or destroyed in later life. But I'm sure Mrs. Hawthorne wouldn't let that happen. With your training, Mrs. Hawthorne...
Well, I'm very careful to separate purely private papers from those which have to do with the school or the church, now that I'm married to the minister.
But how do you find space for all these things? My box room is crammed with them. Boxes.
The school material stays in the school. The church papers are in the cupboard in the vestry with the hymnaries and the music. And I keep a filing cabinet at home for my personal papers.
So efficient. Well, I'm sure you're an efficient person too by nature, Josie.
Oh, well, I suppose they keep the hotel records better than they used to be. But that's not saying much.
You must excuse me. Please don't forget to give the children's drawings to Mr. Bonner.
I'll do that, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Thank you. Good evening, Miss McConkie.
Good evening, Mrs. Hawthorne.
Mr. Bonner will be in for his game of darts in a couple of hours. So I better lower the board or he'll be making holes in the skirt.
Will you be seeing your father, Josie?
He should be back into his tea soon.
Well, you might just mention in passing that I have the information he was looking for...
Oh.
The whereabouts of the deeds. He know what you mean.
Very good, Miss McConkie.
Better say, the whereabouts of their deeds.
Hey! Hey, Packy, come over here.
Mr. Doherty.
Packy, I have another wee job for you.
That's so, Mr. Doherty.
You'll have noticed they finished digging out the shot at the back. It'll give a bit of drainage and might even get rid of some of that rising damp there inside.
What's the name of the thatcher?
Pat McMenamin. This is one of his good days. He got about 4 square foot done since 10 this morning.
Well, I hope the wind doesn't rise and get in under it. Hardy weather, Pat.
Hi.
Great work you're doing up there.
Hi.
Well, good luck for it.
I'll be needing new scallops.
What you saying?
I'll have to cut Hazel's scallops for him out of the hedge.
Shouldn't he be doing that himself?
He says he's not able for it.
Well, we'll go round the back and have a look at the cess pit.
Mr. Mullarky, the rat catcher, has set traps all round.
Them's the boys that disappears the minute you start trying to get them.
And over there's where I'll put down the 3 dozen fuchsias. They'll grow there where nothing else will.
Ah, well, you're a knowledgeable man when it comes to the planting. Oh, by the way, would you do a job for me?
I'm not doing one now.
No. A different kind of job. I'm looking for a copy of the deeds of this place. Father O'Flaherty and myself sees nothing wrong with the deeds we have. Mrs. Hawthorne was letting on to one of the Miss McConkeys that she has another copy with different information on it. Now, I need to see that copy, and it's in your interest, too.
Where is it?
Well, as it happens, I can tell you exactly, so you won't have to go searching. It's along with the hymn books in a cupboard in their vestry.
And how would I get in there?
Well, since you get on so well with the minister's wife, you could call in sometime when the church would be open. Didn't you used to do gardening for the minister, too, before they got married?
I did. I knew every inch of the place.
Well, there you are now. All you need is to wait for your opportunity and not to rush it.
No problem, Mr. Doherty. They never bother to lock that wee room. What's it worth to you?
Oh, I'll see you come well out of it when you bring me the papers. They'll be in an envelope, I suppose, with something like some skittery cottage on the outside. Right, well, I'll come out and have a look at that cesspit. Oh, God! What the hell? Oh, my foot!
Hold steady, Mr. Doherty. It's a good job you're wearing them strong boots.
What the hell is it?
You're after getting caught in one of Mr. Mullarky's rat traps.
That's a good dog. You're a good dog. Come on, what's the matter? God, you're a terrible wreck. What have they been giving you to eat your bed at all? Come on, are you mad? There's only a step more to go. Now, don't you recognize your own front door? Or have you been away so long? Nap attending. Come on. And don't let the whole street look at you.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, Miss Hawthorne. Miss Vaughan. Changeable weather, isn't it? Oh, I think I'll have to bring in the washing.
Going for a stroll with the dog, Miss McConkey?
Yes. He's been away for some time. I think he needs exercise.
Did you have him in kennel?
No, just staying with friends in the country.
I don't think animals like being in kennels. I had this problem with Ozymandias. Oh. But in the end, I just couldn't let him go.
Oh.
Ozymandias, my canary.
Oh, yes. I forgot you had a canary, Mrs. Hawthorne. A Napertandy. Oh.
Is the dog's name Napertandy?
He's named in honor of the Patriots.
Oh, one of the leaders of the United Irishmen. A leading proponent of the Enlightenment. Did you know that Napertandy met all the leaders of the French Revolution?
What? Oh, I did, of course. Now, Napertandy, we must cross the street.
May I help you over to the shop?
No, thank you. No. I think he needs a little rest.
No, I think he's just being obstinate. Dogs can be like that, you know. That's why I prefer birds. Look, we both pull on the lead.
Good boy, that's right. Come along,
good dear. When they have to obey. They're really quite intelligent, you know.
They're waiting for you.
Intelligent as monkeys.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Hawthorne. I don't know why he behaved like that. It's most unusual.
If he's become used to the country, he may not like the streets.
And he never likes strangers.
He must come down to our church on Sunday.
What?
Napertandy was a Presbyterian, you know.
Yes, you go, Napertandy. Thank you, Mrs. Hawthorne. Goodbye now.
Bye.
Vera,
what is it, Miriam?
Napper Candy's back.
Oh, is he? I'm coming
heart. He's lost his good manners while he was up at Killycrumper Hall.
Poor wee Nupper Tandy. Are you home again? What's that, Nupper Tandy? Don't you know me?
I was mortified, dear. I had to pull him all the way. And who should I meet just outside the shop? Mrs. Hawthorne. And I had to accept her offer of help.
He's probably disorientated. Did you miss us, Nupper Tandy?
And worse than that, when I was pushing him in the door, she told me he was a Presbyterian.
She didn't.
So the man he's called after was.
Poor wee Nupper Tandy. He looks well fed, anyway.
Well, the cook looked after him. He just walked in one day, she was telling me, and they didn't like to hunt him out. The valet said they advertised him wildly. I'd say he pocketed the money for the ad in the Vindicator. Didn't like the look of him. He's one of those common English accents you hear in workers' playtime on the wireless. And when I was pulling Napa Tandy out by the kitchen door, I turned to look where I was going. And at the same minute, I heard a yelp. I think that valet gave him a kick.
Oh, we could tell Peg Sweeney, and she'd report him to the cruelty. Oh, there was a ring from Gard Gallagher, Muriel.
Oh?
He'll definitely take the room while the barracks has been done up. He'll drop round for a chat about it this day week.
Well, now I need a cup of tea, Vera. Will we take Napper Tandy in the kitchen?
Right.
He might recognise her.
Come along now, Napper Tandy, and have a nice wee warm by the rain. Come on now, and don't be worrying about what that woman said about you. Sure, her canary's a third or the redemptorist. Come on, come on.
Mr. McMenamin, the Thatcher must have knocked off for the evening. He feels a weakness coming on him around 3 o'clock.
I hope you aren't going to feel a weakness coming on you now that I see the place is so cosy looking.
Mm-hmm.
There's something nice about Thatcher, all right.
Aye, but the cost of keeping it. I'd rip the whole thing in corrugated iron and be done with it.
The Americans would never go for that, Packy. They like to think of us living under straw, like the Zulus. Have you got a woodbine?
I have a couple left. You'd need a car if you lived out here.
Mm. Thanks. And I see the electric pole is at the end of the field.
Oh, you'd get electric at a week's notice. But who'd want to live permanently out here?
I often think I should give up the hotel altogether. My dad's never going to let me be completely in charge.
And I told you, I'm a bit sick of living in the old stable boy's room.
That's him showing you can't take anything for granted. Come on inside.
Cigarettes out. The place isn't insured.
Why? Did the thatch take fire?
No, but the straw mattress might.
Oh, there you are, Mrs. Doherty. What are you doing on the porch? Did you not get the envelope?
How could I?
I was waiting for you to come inside and distract Mrs. Hawthorne while she was practicing in the organ and you never came.
I was going to come in, but then I saw a wee blue car coming down the road. It was Reverend Striven.
He's gone.
No, he passed by. He gave me a wave. I don't think he knew who I was. He wouldn't have expected to see me anyway. So then I had to stand in here a bit in case he came back. I took a stroll among the headstones.
Oh,
all black marble. Very depressing.
The door to the vestry is open. I could juke in there.
Look, if we meet anyone else there, I have to identify a headstone.
You wouldn't know anybody buried here.
No, but when we were in the undertaking business in my grandfather's time, we used to supply headstones to all sorts around here. So I'll stay here and you nip in.
Okay. This must be the envelope you're looking for.
I thought that was quick.
It was sitting right there on the table. Look, from Skittrick's written in the front. They must have had it out reading it.
I'll take a read of it, and you can bring it back. No one will know. Just a minute.
It's okay. We can't be seen from the road.
Ah.
Is it not what you're looking for?
I don't know. It doesn't look like these to me. From Skittrick Congregation, a report and recommendation to the elders on the amalgamation of the Sabbath School of First Friday and July 9th. That's some historical document, right enough.
Well, I'll put it back, so.
I know where you can put it. Or better still, you can give it back to her in person when you're on your next Sunday school picnic.
I have a list made out, Muriel. It's the do's and don'ts for Gard Gallagher. We can put it on the back of the bedroom door so as he won't miss it.
Oh, shouldn't we give him an inkling of it in advance? It'd only be fair.
When we've agreed the rent and everything's going well. Well, I can say, I hope these few wee notes are an order guard for your own comfort. I'm sure he mightn't even bother to read them.
Now, what have you written there?
One, if smoking in bed, be sure to stub out the cigarette before you go to sleep.
Well, that's common sense. He won't object to that.
Two, when coming in late, please turn the key in the back door and switch out the light on the landing.
That's obvious enough, too.
Three, meals will not be provided except for breakfast. You may cook your own breakfast at any time you wish, except between 7 and 8.
Oh, no, Vera, no. He'd never bother to scour out the frying pan. And he'd leave the kitchen billowing in black smoke. He might even burn the place down.
I'd thought of that. But we wouldn't want to be cooking it for him. Because he's to be into the barracks by 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That'd mean that one of us would have to rise at 6:30. We might end up missing 8:30 mass with all the clearing up.
We could give him the continental breakfast. I hear they're all the go now.
And which of us is going to run up the street to Hazlitt's Bakery at that hour? And fresh rolls, tuppence apiece? It's something we'll have to look into.
Maybe we should put him off. What more have you?
Four, please do not flush the toilet at night as it is very loud.
Oh, Vera, you can't say that.
But it is, Muriel. Even with the door closed, you can hear the rattle of the chain and the clank of the cistern.
What?
And then the suction of water and the gurgle as it all goes down.
I never notice it as bad as that, Vera.
You don't notice it when it's yourself. I know, because it's you who always goes down to the toilet in the middle of the night.
Oh, well, that's another thing. I wouldn't like to meet him on the stairs in his pyjamas.
Maybe he wears a nightshirt.
That'd be worse.
Ballylennon by Christopher Fitzsimon, Fonsy Doherty was played by T.P. McKenna, Muriel McConkie by Margaret Darcy, and Vera McConkie, Stella McCusker. Vivian Hawthorne was Anya McCartney, Packy McGoldrick, Charlie Bonner, and Josie Doherty, Kathy White. The theme music was played by Stephanie Hughes, and the series was directed by Owen O'Callaghan.